ready.
NBC didn't have to create rape allegations to keep from selling to Bill Cosby. That's like me saying I don't want to sell you my car, but then going around telling people you rob banks.
For real talk.
Hey man, I'm just gonna say it. If you don't think you sexist, ask yourself why you champion LeVar Ball but think Cardi B should go away.
All the time.
Not everybody's gonna like you, but don't ever, ever apologize for trying to be a better person.
Welcome to the Spann Report with your host, Mr. Spann.
Everybody, welcome to the Spann Report podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Spann. This is episode number 206 of the report, and right now, man, we rocking out to some Crit Getaway off of that Forever is a Mighty Long Time album, man. I'm still banging that shit, man. Still banging it. But we are joined. We are joined by two very, very special guests, man. I got the host of my favorite podcast on here, y'all. I got Rod and Karen of the Black Guy Who Tips here with me. Say what's up to the people, fam.
Hey,
how y'all doing?
Thanks for having us, man.
Oh man, thank you for coming. It's been a while, man. I think the last time you guys were on, I was doing episode 100. Yeah, it was episode 100. Y'all helped me celebrate the 100th episode, man. And y'all like, damn, this 17 episodes in, the hardest working couple in podcasting, man. And that's just a regular show. That ain't even counting the like the premium shit they do. That ain't even counting doing the shit like they doing right now, being on my show and everybody else's show. Yo, man, listen. Y'all do a lot, man. Y'all do a lot. Yeah, man. Like I said, two of my favorite people, man. My favorite podcast, man. Definitely glad to have Rod and Karen here with me, man. It's been a busy week, y'all. But I would like to know how you guys have been doing, man. What's been going on with y'all?
Oh, we've been good.
Yeah, I've been doing great, man. You know, like you said, staying busy, staying up, but having a great time, man. Just happy to be here. I was looking forward to this.
Yeah, man, me too, man. I was, this was like, had to reschedule. And like, that's one of the things, man. Like, this week, I've been dealing with this whole wisdom tooth shit. And, yeah, man, your man been looking like he been walking around with a whole, like, look like a squirrel, man. Like, walnuts and shit in my jaw. Because the whole shit was just swole the hell up. Had to, you know, they had me on the opioids, man. Like, it's a thing. They had me on the opioids. I got away with the Advil, though. I was able to kind of deal with the Advil.
So you didn't want to get on the opioids and then start getting on Twitter and supporting Trump?
Oh, hell no, man. Hey, man, them opioids didn't do nothing but put me to sleep. You know, that's pretty much what they did. They put me to sleep, and that's why I couldn't go to work. Like, you can't be out here operating heavy machinery and you sleepy, nigga. Like, you'd be crashing into everybody's cars, man, real talk. So, yo, man, like I said, I'm really glad to have you guys on, man. One of the... we're going to just kind of get right into this, man. you guys know how to get in touch with us here at the show, man. It's going to be in the show notes. You guys, it's going to be there. But yeah, man, I wanted to get right into this. And one of the first questions that I wanted to ask you guys, man, was, you know, as big as you guys have gotten in podcasting, like, is there ever a point where, like, you feel kind of uncomfortable with the growth of the show?
Oh, well, for me, all the time. So, I mean, it's always kind of been a thing where, you know, you always putting yourself out there and you don't really know people on the internet. You just don't, you know how things are going to go. And then you're a lightning rod because you have your opinion. And even though, you know, it's still the same opinion I had when we didn't have any listeners.
Right.
People kind of treat it differently. The more people they think listen to you, it's like, well, you have a platform and you have to be responsible, or you have to have, you know, this opinion that I agree with. And there's that type of pressure. And then there's just also this weird, like, area we're getting into now where you just don't really know if people like you for your show, or if just people like you because, you know, they like genuinely for yourself. And, you know, it's kind of hard when your show is yourself and you're just being yourself. So, you know, there's some times where it can be uncomfortable, but, you know, for the most part, we're still in a very positive area.
How about for you, Karen?
For me, the growth, I guess the growth of the show, well, this is probably part of the growth of the show. The growth of the show itself don't bother me. I had to come to the reality of it's not always how you view yourself. It's how other people view you sometimes, and you have to adjust accordingly.
Yeah.
Because me and Ronjic, we're still the same normal two black ass niggas on a microphone. There's nothing about us that changed. I think that for some reason, people put us in this quote unquote quasi celebrity status that I don't feel like I'm in. But the people's perception of that they have of us makes people feel that way about us, you know, because I guess my definition of famous and other people's definition of famous has changed. I think with the internet and Twitter and things like that, and particularly more Rod than me, he gets a lot of the brunt of the questions and people, I can say something and people even come at him about stuff that I've said. So a lot of times I can go underneath the radar. So I have a spotlight on me too. Don't get me wrong, but my spotlight is a little dimmer than his for some reason or another. And that's kind of patriarchy in reverse because he's the man. So a lot of times people have a tendency to go to him first before they come to me.
All right. Now, you know, you were mentioning like with the internet and the way that people perceive a lot of this stuff. Like I was actually kind of having a conversation with my wife about like the podcast. Cause you know, I'm trying to get her on these mics, man. Right. And, you know, she's a private person. She's really shy. So she doesn't want like to do like a live show or anything. But she was asking me about, whether or not there is a such thing as like internet notoriety, where like you're just famous on the internet, but like the vast majority of people have really no clue who you are. And with the internet, you know, by us being able to kind of like integrate or like cultivate these communities, these audiences, whether or not that comes from that, whether or not that's even a thing that you would call fame. Right, because it's based in the internet. Like, what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like our generation feels like it's kind of questionable, but we don't really get to decide because, you know, the definition for that has changed in our lifetime. Famous used to mean you were on TV, which,
yeah.
I mean, ironically, we have been on TV, you know what I mean? So, you know, I used to think of fame as like this thing where it's like these spaces recognize you and therefore you become recognizable to the general public. But I think that changed. Like now you can be famous for YouTube and you are famous. You know, you can be famous for a podcast. You can be famous for a bunch of stuff. And so I wouldn't necessarily call me and Karen are right now. I wouldn't call us famous by any means, but we definitely get a different type of attention than when we first started out. And you know, and because it's organic, there's not really a point where we just go, I wouldn't even know when you would feel be like, I'm famous now. You know what right. I mean? I wouldn't even know when that point would be, because it's not like we're living our lives and checking in every year. We're living every day, and then, you know, just you get a little, you work a little harder, you get a little more recognition, and you just keep going every day.
Right.
Right. Because our quote unquote goal was never to be famous. I think sometimes people do things and the whole purpose is to be recognized. The whole purpose is to be in the spotlight. That was not our purpose. That was not why we started what we started. We did what we did because it's what we wanted to do, and it grew from there. And as more eyes begin to be on us and people begin to write about us in newspapers and articles, and Roderick's been on, you know, NPR and all this type of thing, it's one of those things where I feel like I can still walk down the street and nobody recognizes me. Right. I can still work a normal job and nobody recognizes me. So in my mind, I am not considered quote unquote famous, you know, but once I get online on social media, that's a whole different perspective. I think more recently, I kind of look at Roger like, oh, okay. Like, it's actually, I know we're big, but I think the reality of it is starting to sink in a little bit more, because we actually go out throughout the city and people will recognize us. Like, we'll be out at brunch and somebody will be like, that's Rod and Karen. Out in the movie, somebody will be like, that's Rod and Karen. Like, we'll just be out doing normal activities and people will recognize you. Mm-hmm. I was out with Roger Mama going to get some wings one time and somebody randomly recognized me. I'm more used to it now, but at first, that because I'm a woman, that fight or flight started kicking in. Like, do I know you? Are you from high school? Type of thing started kicking in. I'm more used to it now, so it doesn't, I don't want to say shock the system as much, but when you're used to living like a normal life where you just kind of go underneath the radar to being recognized, that's something that you have to get adjusted to, because Roderick said this on the show, most people aren't built to be famous. The average person, nobody's really built for that much attention and that much scrutiny and the stripping of your humanity. The average person is not built for that.
Yeah, you know, that kind of was about to lead me into my next question about, you know, with the growth of the show, and because you guys put out so much content, like, you do have the pop, you know, the premium content, you do the, like, the 5 days a week shows, like, does it ever get to a certain point where, like, could it almost be too much? Like, maybe not for you, but maybe, like, the listeners may expect more from you, like, they're just looking at you as something to consume as opposed to just enjoying what it is that you do?
I think anyone who puts out a product is, you're dealing with that if you're creative. And I actually don't mind that. I think the product part of it is first and foremost, and if you don't have the thing you promised to have, then people aren't gonna mess with you. I mean, that's the whole equation. I'm not asking everybody to be my friend when I ask them to pay for something. You know, you have a business, and just like, I'm not the friend of whoever Mr. Domino's is,
right.
the pizza don't come on time, you know, like, that's the only thing I care about. And so in that, you know, so now I do think we work a little too hard. I think we're kind of workaholics, and I know I put a lot of my time into the podcast, and there's times where I try to, like, pull back, and Karen will be like, well, nah, let's just do this, or let's do this anyway, or put this out. And I'm really just trying to find the breaks in the show, you know, take time for ourselves, because, you know, it doesn't, if you're burned out, there's no amount of podcasting that's going to make that okay. You know what I mean?
Correct.
You know, like, so I get the breaks where we can. Like, this week, my man Justin went out of town. He got back, he was tired, but I knew he would be, but he was like, man, we can record Friday. And I was like, let's just not, let's just take the week off, man. It'll be okay. You know, we do way more work than the average podcast, and we do way more work for the average premium thing. You know, I'm a member of a few premium networks for podcasts, and you might get one, two shows in a week. You might get a couple shows a month, and sometimes, you know, and so I'm okay with giving people too much, because I feel like that way I'll never feel like I'm ripping anybody off.
Right.
But I am learning also to to be careful with giving too much, because you'll burn yourself out. And then what good are you? So, you know, I'm starting to relax a little bit. You know, the show lengths, I'm starting to make them a little shorter. Mm-hmm. The amount of shows, you know, if I feel tired, I'm like, I don't feel like doing the show today.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just, we take the day off or whatever, you know. So I'm trying to figure some places out. But because we work for ourselves, it's always a balance that we're trying to find.
Yeah, man. You know, like I dealt with a situation earlier this week. We're trying to expand the network. Shit didn't go the way that I thought it would go. And I think, you know, like I said before on that quick hit, man, I felt like that was a growing or a learning experience as to who I could open up, like the podcasting, networking stuff to. Like when you think about like the growth and stuff of what it is that you guys do, like, you know, there are mistakes that happen along the way. Like, what would you guys think would be the biggest mistake that you've made over the course of the time that you've been podcasting?
Well, the first thing I'd say to you is I think you handled that with integrity, man. That
me
was
too.
We listened to that episode. I listened to, you know, their podcast because it was on your network.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I love the way you handled it, because, I mean, taking responsibility for it, and especially not trying to be like, well, they just fooled me. What trash they are. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like, well, look, maybe this ain't the audience for them.
Right.
And maybe they'll find their audience somewhere else, but it's no hard feelings, you know, and hopefully they take it in that spirit, you know, but that's the part you can't control. But, you know, right, hopefully they take it in that spirit, because it does do a disservice to your brand to be associated with shit that you wouldn't even approve of being on someone else's network. So, right, like, that was, like I said, I really respect the integrity, because you're right, you are going to make mistakes. And I know, for me, I feel like the mistakes I've made before is like, if I've gotten mad about something or mad at someone and got on the microphone, there's been times where I'm really look back and I'm like, man, I really wish I hadn't said that. Like, I wish I had just thought about it a little more, or kept it, to myself or whatever, you know, because, even when I've been vindicated, even when people have hit me up and been like, I agree, you know, Rod, you did this, that was okay. And I've always kind of felt a little twinge of like, I don't like being out of control.
Yeah.
So when I've said things that valid or not, I'm saying out of anger, I'm saying out of vindictiveness, that's not the way I want to operate in the world. I'd much rather be like, here's the mature, like, level-headed way that I've come to a conclusion, even if it's still the same result. Like, hey, I don't fuck with this person no more, and here's why. You know, I don't mind saying that, but it's a difference between getting on the mic and being like, I remember we had these people, Soft C, shout out to from the chat room, that went in on Elon James.
And, I remember that.
You know, I thought they were extremely disrespectful, and not all of them, but some of them, you know, are talking about his disability with his eye, and It just got ugly. They were questioning LJ Williams, like, business tactics, accusing her of, like, being a scammer and shit. It was just so mean. And, you know, at the time, like, you know, these are our friends. These are people we've met in real life. These are cool people. Mm-hmm. What the fuck is wrong with y'all? Y'all used to be fans of them, and now y'all are da-da-da-da, you know. And so, you know, I said something about it. But then looking back, it's like, I really wish I hadn't said a word, because it was their thing to deal with. I did find that those people that were wrong, but at the same time, like, nobody was gonna pick them up and listen to them either. People were just gonna see that they were wrong and move on. People right. just want to see a fight. And I hated that I contributed to the spectacle of this fight in front of everybody, as opposed to just sitting back and letting people, you know, vent and leave it at that. And I actually found those people that I talked about that I could still find on the internet and apologize to them, because, you know, it was wrong, man. It really wasn't my business. And that was a lesson I took forward from that day. Like, there's certain shit that is not my business. And what you think about me, what you think about other podcasts, what you think about my friends, unless you bring it directly to me, it's really not my business.
Yeah. You know, like, since we've all been kind of like doing this for a little bit now, you know, a little bit of time now, I've been doing this 7 years. You guys have been doing this, what, like 9 years, 10 years. You know, one of the things you learn, man, is like, with the fights, folks love the fights, but they don't have to deal with the ramifications of everything that comes behind that. They'll consume it and they'll enjoy it. And you may even get a few more downloads or a few more listens behind that. But those people are fleeting. They will not stick around in the long run. And it's one of the reasons why I've tried my damnedest to stay out of like podcast beef. You know, like if I have an issue with a podcast, a lot of times I will talk to those podcasters and it will not be on the mic. Right. You know, like it just won't be here. Like you guys won't know anything about it. But yeah, man, like that's one of the things that, you know, I've learned over the course of time, man. Like, you know, because there's a lot of folks who would look at like podcast beef as a way to get their shows on. You know, that's there's a lot of them, man.
We've had people like reach out, write really messed up stuff about us in order to try to get us to talk about them. And, you know, we pretty much ignored every one of them. There's been a couple that have said things so egregious that we had to address it. But for the most part, you know, we've just let people cook because that's ridiculous. And the people that come for that, they're going to just be disappointed with our show eventually because we're not going to do that every day.
Right.
So like, yeah, I might get mad at this person and say something about them on Sunday. By Monday, we talking about other stuff, you know? So like, they're just here to see the spectacle. And honestly, the people want to see the fight, but that doesn't mean they care about you. And it doesn't mean they care who wins. And it doesn't even mean they pick the side. In many cases, they want to see the spectacle of the fight. And then at the end of the day, you find out they've moved on and they don't give a damn about that. And most of the time, they're laughing at you for being upset in the first place. So, you know, these are little lessons we've learned, you know, who we've had on the show. Like, we've learned over the years, like, what makes a good guest? What makes a bad guest? Mm-hmm. People that don't respect your show, you know, is no matter how famous or whatever you might think they are, if they don't have a modicum of respect for what you do, it doesn't matter if they come to your show, because people don't really come to shows for celebrity appearances. And it's even worse when they do come and it's for a celebrity that obviously doesn't give a fuck about you. So, you know, they might show up late. They might leave early. They might be too guarded, or, you know, like you're spending the whole show explaining to them what the fucking show is.
And
you could have just not had them on, and I would have been perfectly fine doing the show with just me and Karen. So like little stuff like that we realize, you know, people that have bad sound quality, and, you know, it's like, what are you doing? Are you grocery shopping in the middle of our show? Like, what the fuck? So, you know, it's these moments that we've had to deal with. And I think, you know, these are things you can only learn by trial and error.
Yeah, man. Like, you know, one of the things, man, and I like to say this, you know, with podcasting, like sometimes it's also good when you have an idea and you got it from somebody else, be like, just stand on it and say that, yo, man, like these are the people I got this from. Like that five star review shit, this day shit, I got this from them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I straight up stole that from them. Like, you know what? That's a goddamn good idea. Even on Beer and Chicken, my dudes be laughing like a motherfucker every time I say, y'all can say whatever the fuck y'all want to about us. Just leave them five stars. They be cracking the fuck up, but it's so true. It's I know y'all don't do that no more, but it's true.
We do. It's got to be five stars and nice, because after a while, you know, once you, like you said, the growing popularity, you start getting popular and there's people that listen to you that don't even like you. They don't even like the show. So they're just finding a way to get to you. It's like, oh, if I leave a five star review and call them some punk ass niggas, they got to read it, you know? And so it's like, all right, well, now we'll read them if they're nice. But yeah, we used to for a time just read it no matter what it said. And, you know, and for the most part, people were very fun with it, you know, to call in and say some like, hey, man, I want you to say, make America great again or whatever. I'm like, I'll do that for five stars. I got you, player. But yeah, so we had to change the policy. But absolutely, we believe in that, man. Like, I just don't understand how people end up taking credit for folks' ideas. And I've, you know, and even then I've had to learn to be careful with our platform, because like with my homies from Firestarter, you know, they started Dim Thrones, this the hashtag on Twitter, and the way they talked about Game of Thrones on their podcast. And so we would take it on our show and be like, yeah, Dim Thrones, and we try to shout out Firestarter every time. And if I was talking about it on Twitter. I point out that they you know, they were the originators of this. And at some point, other podcasts picked up on it, other platforms that have reputations for straight jerking people ideas and shit, were literally like on, you know, like trying to discredit, to take the credit away. Like, you can't own a hashtag and y'all don't even use it on Twitter and shit like that. And, you know, I realized at that time, like, oh man, it doesn't even really matter sometimes how much you try to make sure people get credit. Sometimes people just don't care. And so I have to be more careful with it.
Not only that, like, while you mentioned it, like Dem Thrones and what was the other one? Dat what?
The ones that we see, all them hashtags ain't.
I know. I remember Dem Thrones.
So the ones that we knew, like, completely were like, yeah, we fucks with these, was Dem Thrones. And Day Walking was one of them.
Yeah.
You know, and other ones that people just didn't use on Twitter, which was like Dat Limpus was for. Like, man, it was some good ones out there, man. Yeah, it was some good ones. But like I said, man, people got real entitled to their property, you know, like, and in my mind, it never stopped being theirs, you know. But, you know, I read some stuff about, like, or no, I heard a podcast where people were talking about getting paid to tweet these hashtags and shit. And I'm like,
word,
dog, yes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how can you make money off of something that somebody else did? Like, that'd be like us selling Dem Thrones shirts, you know what I mean? Like, it's not ours,
right?
So, like, but that integrity on the internet and all that type of shit is just like not, it's just not, I guess it just doesn't exist for a lot of people. So, even with that, that's another regret I have. If I could go back, I would never fucking even mentioned it or used the hashtag, more so for the fact of knowing that people were gonna be like, well, I'm just taking this shit because I don't know them niggas, and you know what I mean. I'm like, that's not right. So, those are some lessons we had to learn. But yeah, man, we always try to get props when we hear stuff. If I hear something on a podcast and I'll bring it up on the show, oh yeah, I was listening to Mr. Span and he was talking about blah blah blah. Like, I don't mind doing that, right? But I think there are some people that are really weird and selfish like that, that they'll get an idea from somewhere else and just not credited. And that's such a fucking weird thing to do.
And not only that, like, go into like major publications and not even correct where this stuff was coming from. Like, I was reading a story about this Universal Fan Con stuff, and they were still attributing Dem Thrones to Black Girl Nerds. You know what I'm saying? Like, even now. And, you know, like, we all, you know, I'm familiar with the story of, you know, how that all came to be and everything else. But even now, like, even a year, almost 2 years later, that's still being a thing where, like, they're still, that's still being a thing, man. It's just, it's crazy how that works, man.
That shit felt like a trap, because I was like, you know what, if Firestarter or us bring up, like, well, actually, y'all credited her and she don't even blah, right, it was just gonna be like, here y'all go, y'all talking about this Black woman, what does it even matter,
right?
And just that whole shit again. I was like, I'm not falling for it. I never cared. So the only time I really cared about the shit was when the Firestarter crew, the originators, were feeling like, yo, we getting pushed out of this shit. And then I was like, okay, well then activate, let's fucking, like, let's get the credit back. Like, let's make sure that everybody knows, because, like, I don't ever want to be a part of some shit like that. But in general, like, I unfortunately, in a lot of areas, I don't care about getting credit, which may be to my detriment. But there's a lot of times where I'm like, oh, okay, they got that from us, whatever, you know what I mean? Because we still the people that come up with all this shit. So me and Karen will come up with a new thing. It doesn't, you know, like, no one can take what we have from us, because we still a lot of product. So if we want to talk about Baller Alert and then some other podcast stars reading groupie tales, they can't do it like us, so I don't care.
Right. And for the most part, I think Baller Alert is pretty aware that you guys were doing that shit before anybody else. Like, haven't you guys had people from Baller Alert on the fucking show? Like,
yeah, we got Steph 11-8 on the show, man. Yeah. She's so fun, man.
Yeah, man. So, hey, they need to get back on them groupie tales, though. Real talk.
What are y'all doing out there, ladies, men?
Hey, man, get on your job, man. Get on your job, man. We need these tales. Now, another question, man, like, just podcast related, man, that I wanted to ask you guys. Like, really, at this point, man, like, what are you guys most proud of with the podcast?
That's a good question. Talking about with the podcast itself?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I know I have some highlights. Like, one of the things that I was one of the most excited for was doing NegroCon.
That was fun.
I that think fun. That NegroCon was something special. Mm-hmm. And they plan on doing another one, but it was just something about that very, very first time. It was something where if you missed it, you just missed something special because, you know, the next time it'll be bigger and it grows, so it won't be as intimate.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a different experience the second time around. And doing something, particularly with NegroCon, because we're doing something with people that we literally met on the internet and we had literally just seen them. I think that was our first time actually seeing Brandon. And we had maybe seen Chris like if a year before that. So we've been working and dealing and first time seeing you. Yeah. So we've been having relationships with people 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, almost 10 years with a lot of you guys and first time seeing y'all. And I think that was something special. Also, when we went to Seattle, actually was very special. And we went to Miami was very, really, really special because these were some of the first times that we actually got to go out and actually meet our audience. And I think it's just something because that's the thing as a podcast creator, you see your downloads, like you see your downloads and you know that these are people, like, you know, that these are people, they write you in, you have a interaction with them, but it's nothing like seeing them. And I think also the first time we went, we did AwesomeCon before we did NegroCon. I think AwesomeCon actually was even more special because AwesomeCon was the first time we actually met our fans in real life, where we actually could see them face to face and they could come and they can tell you their stories and tell you how they feel about you and how you've impacted their lives. And it was special looking at somebody and, you know, you read the letters, you know, hey, you know, you said this thing and it changed my life. But when you're actually looking at somebody and they looking you in your eyes and say, you changed my life, you helped me view how to love my wife differently and how to love differently. And I now understand LGBTQ differently. I have more compassion in my heart. Those are the things that actually encourage you to keep going and to know that you're impacting the world.
How about you, Rod?
Oh, man, I mean, everything Karen said, you know, obviously being recognized at the cons and all that stuff, like, was big to be invited to RevoltCon, you know, and get to meet Combat Jack and rest in peace and Nori and DJ Effin and Be Safe. Why can't I remember his name?
Tackstone.
Say that again.
Wasn't that Tackstone?
Yeah, Tackstone. Yes. It feel like it's been forever. But yeah, to see Tackstone, like, these are like people that are like podcasting giants, you know, and we got to be on that stage and talk to the people that had questions about podcasting. Those things have been big milestones for us. Being premium, you know, making a living off of it, paying our bills with this shit. Definitely something I never would have thought would have happened. If it wasn't for Karen, we never would have done it. I never would have had the belief to do it, because I think I was kind of scared, like I gotta go find a job. I never not had a job that was from someone else writing me a check every week, you know. Right. So those milestones are probably the most important, you know, to me.
Yeah. And also particularly going premium, the thing about it is that going premium has taught me a lot. Going premium has taught me to value myself. Mm. Going premium has taught me that I am worthy of doing something outside of traditional 9-to-5. Most Black people and brown people and minorities are never taught, because we're never actually in a situation where we can afford to take the chance to quote unquote fail.
Yeah.
And it was one of these things where we were in a place where it was either sink or swim. And so it was one of the times where I knew that this was something that Roger could do. I know I couldn't do it, but I know he had the ability to learn how to do it. And I was the one who actually seeing how hard he worked to put it together. It was a lot of hard work behind the scenes before we announced anything. And these are things we've been talking about, but it's very, very, very hard to go premium when both people are working 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
You know, it's very, very difficult because you're tired when you get home. There's a lot of people with hopes and dreams and aspirations, but they are exhausted. So they never have the time to put the time into their side hustle to make it a real hustle, you know, and to make it a full-time income. It's very difficult to do that. So the thing is, I tell people getting laid off is not always a bad thing. You know, American society has taught people getting laid off is the worst thing ever and you're worthless and you need to go find a job ASAP. And sometimes you need to take the time to reevaluate your life, see where you at, see what you want to do. And also, I like that if you'd have told me 10 years from now we'd have been getting paid off the internet, I'd have looked at you like, nigga, what? Because internet has opened up opportunities and allowed people to, you're talking about before PayPal, before, you know, a lot of this stuff is prior to all this social media interactions and stuff. So, you know, when we try to explain what we do, it's hard for older people to even understand the concept because they just think the internet is just something that the children do. When you have people making millions of dollars, all their transactions are off of the internet.
Yeah, like I remember when I first started doing this podcasting thing and I like was like explaining it to family, first thing they ask you, like, nigga, how much money you make off of that? You know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't get that I was doing it off of the love and the fact that I like doing it. It was like, hey, man, how much you make off of that? And, you know, it's funny now that we talk about, you know, being in podcasting for so long where, like, the attitude of a podcaster now is a little bit different than it was from when we came into podcasting. Where, like, a lot of podcasts are coming out now, they're like, yo, man, we got this merchandising going on. We got the social media outfit going on. We coming out the gate with everything. Whereas before, we were just kind of learning these things along the way. So, yeah, man, it's weird. It's kind of wild to, like, be here for as long as we have been and watch the growth of this medium, like, the way that it has grown. It's just kind of wild to kind of see how this is, you know, kind of blown up, so to speak.
Podcast in a lot of ways is the new blog.
Yeah.
You know, right. Like it's kind of like, you know, this is the new, everybody's doing it. So you got celebrities getting into it. You got people with internet followings getting into it and different people are finding ways to be successful with it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's still the wild, wild west. So you can kind of do what you want to do and see what works and what doesn't work. And also because it's kind of low cost and low investment, people quit them left and right too, you know, like, it's, you know, it's, there's not that pressure there. Like if you were working a 9-to-5, but you know, I feel like the quality rises to the top and the people get rewarded. But the most important thing to do is to do it for yourself because people can kind of tell when you're just doing it to get on or to, you know, to say the most like salacious thing that's going to get you clicks and attention and it won't work because people will just be like, this is too desperate. I don't care about this.
Yeah, that whole, like, we're going to do this for the controversy aspect of it. Like, come on, man. Like, yeah, people talk off of controversy, but at the same time, it's, again, when we talk about podcast beef, those downloads are fleeting, man. Those people aren't staying. So you have to keep up with the bullshit.
Like, it has to be authentic as a thing. Like, because it's not that people won't come for controversial opinions. I mean, there's people all over the world, you know, that are getting attention for that, but it's hard to monetize some certain things or certain attitudes. Like if you're mostly feeding a negative attitude, guess what kind of fans you're gonna have? Negative fans that don't want to pay for your shit. if you mostly about having, you know, beef with people, you're gonna attract people that only want to see beef. They don't want to see you make jokes and be funny and whatnot. And so being authentic and genuine more than anything, I think helps. So, cause like those personalities that are like rough around the edges, they can make it, but it's gotta feel like it's real. Cause a lot of people, they, you know, they hide behind all these other layers and it's like, oh, I never got the real you. This is all an act. So I don't want to pay for anything you tell me to pay for.
Yeah.
Right. And also for me, Mrs. Fan, I realized this, particularly when it comes to the brown community, we're underserved. We're underserved everywhere. Even in podcasting, we're actually underserved. There's a lot of us, but a lot of us don't get the recognition on the list that they make. A lot of us don't get the recognition, you know, unless it's Black History Month, even on iTunes and stuff like that, like we should, mm-hmm. you know, unless you're on like a one of the big networks and you're Black. Most of us don't get that recognition. So I've learned that once you serve a underserved market, they will be loyal to you and mm-hmm. they will actually give and donate and subscribe mm-hmm. and things like that because they want to see you around.
Yeah. You know what? Like speaking of networks, man, like it's beautiful. I think like for the fact that everybody, well, for the most part, like Where's My 40 Acres, Movie Trailer mm-hmm. Reviews, you guys, Black Astronauts, like you're seeing these individual podcasts branch out and become their own networks within their own rights. And like, they're not only that, like just kind of branching out and giving other voices within the community, their own platforms and their own voices and like, you know, and amplifying them in a way that, you know, these voices we were not able to hear before. And like, that's the thing that I'm enjoying most about the growth of this medium is the fact that we're hearing so many voices that we probably wouldn't have heard before, only because the people who had come forward, like with their own shows and cultivated them, branched out and did networks and was like, you know what? We're going to have this show for this, and we're going to have this show for this, and we're going to have this show for this. We're going to have something for you to listen to, even though you think you own some very niche shit that don't nobody else know about. So yeah, man, it's been a beautiful thing to watch grow, man. Yeah, we could talk podcasting all day long, man, real talk. But I got some thoughts, man. I got some things that I was thinking about over the course of the week, right? And I've been keeping score of shit. Like, I've been, like, trying to, like, write down everything I learned over the course of the week. I think I'm going to start doing this. Like, everything I learned over the course of the week, right? And so, last week when I had Shane Paul Neal on the show, I called that shit, just throw the whole week away, right? And then this week happened, right? So these are, like, the 9 things that I like learned over the course of the week. Okay. Now, the first thing I learned was that Black men should only be held accountable for doing fucked up things only if white dudes are being held accountable for doing fucked up things, except nobody has been arguing against anybody being held accountable for doing fucked up things unless you're a Trump supporter and you just forgive everything. Right. I learned that. Number 2, your ancestors chose to be enslaved. I learned this week. I guess that's why it's so easy for so many people to believe that gay people just chose to be gay. They could have just said no, right? I mean, I guess I learned that this week. Apparently, bitches be lying. Even if 50-plus women don't even know each other from across the country. I don't know if you ever tried to get like a whole bunch of people together in any capacity, but I'm here to tell you, man, it's like kind of like herding cats. But are they still lying if the nigga that they're accusing is admitting that he did the shit? I'm just asking.
Are they still women?
Are they still? Are they? I don't know.
If they're still women, then
identifying as women, the answer is still.
Yeah, good. If they're still women, then it means they're still lying, according to that logic,
people out here.
Yeah, man. Another thing, niggas really think that Killmonger was a better villain than Thanos. Like, it's niggas really out here promoting that, right? Killmonger had, yeah. like, he had to steal Black Panther's, like, he had to steal T'Challa's, like, throwaway Black Panther costume. The one that T'Challa was like, you know what, that's too gaudy. I don't really want to fuck with that. I'm trying to go unnoticed. I don't want that one. That's the one Killmonger had. He still couldn't beat T'Challa in the end, right? Nigga, Thanos throwing whole-ass moons at niggas, bro. Like, a whole-ass moon. Now, mind you, I don't know if I'd have been able to survive a whole ass moon being thrown at me. That Iron Man suit is fucking amazing. However, mm-hmm. Thanos throwing whole ass moons at niggas is not even close. Killmonger wouldn't have last 10 seconds. I'm just saying.
I agree.
Number 5, man. In the year of our Lord 2018, there are niggas that are still asking about proof that R. Kelly is a goddamn pedophile. Like, 20 years after this motherfucker done married Aaliyah, like 16 years after sex tape with him peeing on a 14-year-old girl, like stories of this nigga like trolling around Chicago area high schools while Vibe was still on the charts, weren't a thing. Even to this day, yes, Vibe. Even to this day,
even to this,
oh man, public announcement, man. All the way back to public announcement, niggas are still asking, hey man, but what proof do y'all have though? He ain't had no accusations as of late. Like, niggas are still on that. I'm just saying. Let's see. Number six, Kanye West has made free thought a thing. The only thing was, it was always a thing, but most of the free thought being expressed seems to actually be free from thinking, maybe. I don't know. Number seven, it's been a whole lot of ass showing this week. Maybe it's the weather finally breaking, because you know, here in Michigan, man, we had an earthquake, we didn't have a blizzard, and we didn't have 70 degree weather all in the same motherfucking week, man. It's crazy. But if this silly on the first warm day of the year, this summer probably gonna be really fucked up, man. It's probably gonna be really fucked up here. Number eight, I want to shout out all the above it all niggas, right? The niggas who always telling, man, y'all worried about the wrong shit, man. Y'all always worried about shit that don't mean nothing, man. I want to shout y'all out, man, because y'all waste no time in telling us what we should and shouldn't be worried about. But somehow y'all are never above it all just enough to just shut the fuck up.
It's a distraction.
And number nine, man, I'm expressing free thoughts. Therefore, you can't challenge shit I'm saying. So that's what I learned this week, man. I learned all of that.
Well, I don't know if your free thoughts were free enough. If they didn't lead to you being a coon, maybe your thoughts.
You ain't free. Quite free. Mm-mm.
Yeah,
hey. A true
free thinker would be saying, "What about the kids in Chicago?"
And, oh,
you know, why don't?
What about black on black crime?
Yeah, why don't black people care about black on black crime? Now, that's true free thinking. Now, taking a knee. Or, you know, like having some radical pro-blackness. Now, that's not free thinking at all. Mm-mm.
You're part of that Democratic agenda, man. You can't be a part of that Democrat. You got to get off that plantation. Got to get off that plantation, man. So, yeah, those are the things that I learned over the course of this week, man. But we're about to get into some of our segments. And our first segment is, what in blue blazes, man?
What in blue blazes is going on out here?
This nigga just say blue blazes. All right, man. And what in blue blazes, man? Our first story is Camille Cosby defends Bill Cosby, says that he is a victim of a lynch mob. Oh shit, where's my damn dun dun? All right. Says Bill Cosby's wife says the 80-year-old comedian was a victim of a lynch mob, and that her husband's conviction on sexual assault charges was the result of a frenzy advanced by the media and the untrustworthy account of main accuser Andrea Constant. In the first public statements made by Camille Cosby since the jury found her husband guilty on three counts of aggravated indecent assault last month, she said the case that could send the comedy legend to prison for the rest of his life was mob justice, not real justice. The inflammatory three-page written statement calls for the district attorney who prosecuted Cosby to be criminally investigated. Cosby's wife of more than five decades also equated Cosby's fate to the death of Emmett Till, the black teen who was lynched in Mississippi in 1955 after witnesses said they saw him suggestively whistling at a white woman. The killers, meanwhile, were acquitted. Now, are we questioning Camille Cosby's ride or die gene at all at this particular point?
I mean, she, to me, it's more about her being complicit.
Yeah.
Right, so. So you keep talking, people going like, hey, do we need to investigate you? Were you around when some of this happened?
Ain't no, if you keep talking, she said enough. She definitely was not just benefiting from this man's money and legacy, but she completely played a role in it. And there were women that testified she was in the vicinity when right. things happened, and she just magically went upstairs and didn't come back down. And, you know, knowing what the rumors around him were for years and shit, you know, his wife knew that shit. So yeah, man, I feel like she's complicit too. They need to take her ass to jail too. She can go.
Well, you know, the interesting thing too, man, is with what Bill Cosby was out here doing and what he was accused of doing, for her to kind of step out in front in this way, like, I can, before she said anything, because I remember there was a certain point when this first came out that folks were really sympathetic towards her, right? Like, man, like she was around for all of this. Maybe she didn't know, you know what I'm saying? Maybe she didn't know he was out here doing these things. And then when she comes out and she makes statements like this, you're like, wait a minute, maybe she knew and she was helping to facilitate this. And then you find out, well, like, she was also a manager at some point for his career also. So some of these payments that he was making to these women, to, you know, these non-disclosures, the same way R. Kelly with these non-disclosure agreements, she was privy to him. She also knew, you know, she was complicit in that way too. So yeah, man, it's just weird, man, to like kind of watch this unfold. And I'm also kind of perturbed by this whole thing with the whole lynching thing, like this whole aspect of like with R. Kelly and Bill Cosby, there's they're the subjects of public lynchings now. I don't know why they keep referencing that. Like, I can't wrap my head around how they keep coming up to lynching when it comes to what R. Kelly was accused of and what Bill Cosby was accused of. Bill Cosby being convicted, R. Kelly not being convicted. But how they keep coming up to this whole lynching aspect, I never really could wrap my head around it.
Mr. Span, I think to me, and particularly when it comes to black men and a lot of black women buy into this, a lot of people hide behind blackness as a shield so that you can't say anything negative. You can't call me a bad person. Everything you say about me or towards me, if it's not flattering, is racist. Particularly if it's coming from a white person or something like that. So they pull this up to actually try to stop the conversation. Well, if I say lynching, you have to stop the no. These are not the same. You know, that little boy was not guilty and the people got away free.
Yeah, I also think they like to pretend that anytime it's a black man, the only motivation to bring him to justice must be false accusations of white women, and to the point where essentially it's about protecting black rapists.
Right.
Like, they're not saying these men are innocent and they were, there's no evidence. It's always like, you know, no matter who the black man is, no matter who the victim is, they somehow turn it into it's about black men being incarcerated and jailed and unfairly put in the criminal justice system. But like with R. Kelly, it's all black women, black girls, little black girls that are victims.
Yeah.
So we flip in the conversation, you see it get flipped to, well, those black girls are just fast and they wanted it. And it like right. Everything to protect black men, because when it comes to solidarity, black men are supposed to eat first, and then the things that we do to black women and shit, they just supposed to deal with it, you know. That's, and there's a lot of black men who are invested in that. There's a lot of black women who are invested in that. Mm-hmm. And when we see people challenge these notions, their reflex is to question your blackness, because you said, hey, I don't think R. Kelly should be out here raping women, girls, and he should have to go to prison for that. And it's, well, that's because, you know, you some type of coon or some shit, because you don't want to see a man allowed to rape women at will. I'm sorry, but I'll just have to be a coon then.
Come on.
Yeah, that coon term gets thrown around quite a bit, man. Like, it, so long as, if you go against the status quo, I guess, so to speak, that kind of gets thrown around. But some of this stuff, man, like, you would look, it's weird, because like, if you were to ask these same people about Daniel Pantaleo, if you were to ask these same people about George Zimmerman, if you were to ask these same people about, you know, the guilt of those two gentlemen, right, or those two dudes, if you were to ask them about that guilt, they wouldn't go through nearly the amount of mental gymnastics that they do to try to find out some reason why what they did was okay. They know those dudes is guilty right off bat. So,
and that's when you find out that they start pulling out that you can't even compare the two, which always lets you know,
yeah,
they do see the similarities, and they just don't want to talk about it, because know that when it's some racial shit like Tamir Rice, we don't give the police the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
When it's those black dudes in Starbucks, we didn't want to hear that shit. When white people, well, maybe they did, we were like, shut the fuck up. We know what racism is. And so when women are telling us, shut the fuck up, we know what sexual assault is, you got a bunch of brothers that otherwise would be like, yep, going, well, yeah, let's hear it out. Let's hear both sides. Yeah. Man, that's sad to see.
And it happens with the LGBTQ community too. You know, it happens. Yeah, yeah. It happens all the time. And he's like, yo, you can't compare, like, and I've had this conversation with many a friend, you know, over the course of the last few years. And they're like, well, you can't compare the two. Like, why the fuck not? Like, I'm showing you these parallels, dude. Like, they run around. These rivers run the same way, bro. Like, they go into the same lake. So, yeah, it's weird to, like, kind of watch this shit play out, man. Another story here in Blue Blazes, man. Kanye West has been banned on a Detroit radio station, y'all. All right, it says Kanye West's controversial comments about slavery have cost him airtime on a Detroit hip-hop radio station. Two radio hosts at 105.1 FM, The Bounce, announced that they would stop playing songs West had written or produced following an overwhelming response by listeners, the Detroit Free Press reports. The embargo of the 21-time Grammy Award winner has since been applied to the entire station, which plays classic hip-hop and R&B. We feel like Kanye has gone too far with his latest statement declaring that slavery was a choice. Host Big and Shay Shay wrote on Facebook Wednesday, including the hashtag Mute Kanye. So we are taking a stand and we aren't playing his music anymore. We're just refusing to give him a platform, they said. West created a storm of controversy this week after he said in an interview on TMZ, when you hear about slavery for 400 years, that sounds like a choice. We need a break, Shay Shay from the Morning Bounce program told the Detroit Free Press. I think it's a gut feeling of when we'll be able to feel comfortable playing it again, when we will want to hear it again, and more importantly, when will our listeners want to hear it again. So what do you guys think about this radio station deciding that they don't want to play any more Kanye?
I mean, look, if that's what they want to do, I think the Kanye thing has been kind of a weird thing for us, because at least for me, because I don't think his mental health is right, and that's not to make an excuse for him, but just like sums up with this latest turn that he's made. Like, this is kind of some new shit. I think maybe you can argue he was trending towards this before, but oh, this is like some you can't come home type shit. So like, I don't know what's up with him, but I think collectively he has hit a nerve within the black community that I don't think we're ready to talk about the trauma and the PTSD we have about slavery and shit either. So him even bringing these things up, whether he's trying to touch the third rail and be controversial or even if he really believes them, it's fucking with us in a bad way. You know, and I think it always will, because, you know, we don't want to hear that shit. But black people, we've never really dealt with it either. We've never had, like, we should all be able to have therapy for free for the rest of our lives just because of the trauma that racism, oppression, and slavery has done to us. You know what I mean? Like, because, and I'm not trying to say this like I'm above everybody else, because I'm not.
Yeah.
But I've been spending this week stepping back and looking at how people are reacting to it. Right. Because I don't keep people around me that would agree with Kanye. Mm-mm. And I don't keep people around me that would defend Bill Cosby. So I haven't seen those people, right? But I know they exist because all my friends are dealing with those people, and I've seen them talk about it on social media. So having that one little degree of separation has caused me to see like how much anger we have about, like, we need to get this nigga back in line. And I think he hurt, like, Van Lathan said something, I don't think he meant to say it this way, but when he said basically, like, to a certain extent, Kanye had hurt him,
right,
with this newest wave, like, or whatever he was on, and Kanye was like, hey man, I'm sorry I hurt you or whatever. And I was like, that was the most honest moment of that whole exchange, because it hurts us as black people to see black people that we like, you know, especially who haven't always been like that. Cause I think, you know, people trying to act like he was just always some type of coon, and you can go through his lyrics and that shit ain't true. Like,
right.
That's why it hurts, is cause we know this nigga know what racism is. You know what I mean? This nigga was rapping about like Ronald Reagan and the CIA putting crack in the neighborhoods. Like, he's not just some fucking, like, you know, he's not Candace Owens. Right. So, you know, like, I wouldn't, if I seen, I ain't know who Candace Owens was till last week. So if I seen a Candace Owens YouTube video, you know what I would do? Click off of that shit and never look at her again.
Don't do it.
With Kanye, it kind of hurts, because we're like, it's hard to turn away from somebody that you're like, what's going on with you? So I think the radio station is trying to make a point, like, we won't tolerate you taking it this far. But at the end of the day, man, it's really about how much he hurt the people that listen to that radio station, the people who make the music for the radio station. Because if we talking about morally policing music and commentary from artists, I mean, does that radio station play R. Kelly?
They do. And that was one of the things that a lot of Kanye defenders were saying, like, well, y'all still playing R. Kelly's music. So why then do you feel like you can ban Kanye after what he said?
Right. Y'all playing Chris Brown? Are y'all playing, like, is now you done put us in a slippery slope where it's like, well, let's discuss what you, because you're saying that by playing these things, we're condoning them.
Right.
So now let's ask you, what do you condone?
Right.
Because it didn't have to be that way.
Right.
You could have, like, but because the other thing you could have done is just stop playing his music and not say nothing.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So
you
this
have
was
to
a
make the announcement. Yeah.
Like, they wanted to let the world know we don't fuck with this dude no more. And this is that intersection shit that we get at where it's like, you know, and I think a lot of black men don't like when I talk about this, but the truth is, this is us picking when we're upset with the thing that we feel directly affects us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we're like, nigga, you talking bad about this slavery shit. You talking bad about you talking about Trump, man, fuck you. But then when he was rapping about beating a woman and all of the lights, we wasn't like, well, it sounded like he beat Amber Rose. I don't think we should play the album no more. We was like, this shit is fire.
This is his best album ever, nigga. This is a classic.
Right. So when you bring that up, all those things come to my mind because I'm just like, I mean, yeah, but I mean, what are you really saying to pick now to make this statement?
How about you, Karen? What do you think about this?
To me, I think they would have been better off, like Roger say, just not playing the music, not saying that, not playing the music. Because the thing is, like, this sound like one of them radio stations down here, like WPEG Power 98, where you want to kind of get my mama and get me too. Yeah. And those radio stations bother me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I can hear somebody sing about fucking a woman down and putting his dick in her mouth, you know, but don't let them rap about it. I got to hear a beep, beep, and it's edited and chopped and screwed because y'all don't want people to rap about it, but you don't mind them singing about the same thing. So I already have a problem with these in the middle of the fucking road radio stations anyway, who kind of have politically correctness in them, in my opinion, like, anyway. And so to me, you'd been better off like that, but you making a statement, yes, people are going to respond because people are going to be like, you still playing James Brown, you still paying these other people that have been publicly known to beat women and whoop women publicly. Like, are you still going to do this? And so the thing is, if you're not going to answer those questions, you need to just continue to play Kanye, or either don't play Kanye at all and don't make no further statements about it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like, the one thing, I guess, with the Kanye shit this past week that hurt me the most wasn't necessarily Kanye. It was the dudes that I knew that were agreeing with that shit. Like, that was
That's what I figured from a lot of the commentary I saw. Because, like I said, I didn't experience that. You know what I mean? So, who knows what I would have felt like if I really logged into motherfucking Facebook and seen a whole bunch of people. I probably would have went crazy. But, so I didn't experience it that way. But what I did see was, you know, people like you, people like Brandon. Like, I saw a lot of people. And I don't know, man. It's like, I don't know. It's kind of the gift and the curse, right? Because you don't want to be too stringent and live in a quote unquote bubble on the internet.
Right.
But part of that is self-protection. Cause I made a decision a while back. I don't want people in my space that defend like these fucking rapists and racists and coons. And I just decided I didn't want it. Like, that's not the experience I want when I go online. And if that makes me weak or not fun, then that's fine. I don't want to debate you on your page. I don't need your hot take or your contrarian opinion. So I got all that shit out of my life. And when I see people like that, I just unfriend their ass and keep moving.
Yep.
Like, it don't mean nothing to me. So it was kind of that moment where I was like, watching y'all react to it, I realized, oh, it's not even Kanye.
Yeah.
Like, this is leaked into real life. Like,
yeah.
Apparently, somewhere, unbeknownst to me, there are actual niggas sitting around talking about some motherfucking. This makes sense. And I, you know, to me, it's unfathomable, dude. I really went to this is how bad it was. I went to the basketball court last week,
right?
And I asked every black man at that court, did they think slavery was a choice? And all of them said, no, of course. You know, like, that's crazy. Of course not.
Right.
And I said, okay, so I'm not tripping. Like, this isn't just like, you know, this, like, there's some niggas on the internet apparently that just thrive off of these type of contrarian ass views. And mm-hmm. I think that's what was happening.
Yeah. Like, when I did that episode Thursday, like, a lot of that was really about, you know, the fact that I knew so many guys personally, like guys I grew up with, guys I was in like Black American history class with, who were talking this, yeah, Kanye got a point shit. And I'm like, nigga, how? Like, we was in the same class. Like, we was learning the same shit. How in the fuck are you sitting here now, 20 years later, talking about Kanye got a fucking point? And ironically, like, you know, I guess, like, with the whole friend shit, like, especially when you got, like, you know, lifelong friends, you've been friends at least 20-some-odd years or whatever. Like, for me, it's kind of hard to, like, kind of, like, just cut niggas off that way. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, man, like, we done won championships together, man. We done went on all these trips together, man. We done watched these kids grow up and stuff. And, like, and I'm looking at you now, I'm like, nigga, what's wrong with you? And, like,
that's what I thought it must have been, like, friends and family and people that you can't just, because I would just, I mean, but see, I do take it to that level. Like, yeah. I view life kind of differently. Mm-hmm. Just because I'm not your friend on Facebook don't mean we're not friends.
Mm. Right.
You can be my uncle, say some crazy shit on Facebook, and I'll be like, yeah, nigga, I don't want to log into a social media platform
right
and see my uncle saying something crazy, but I will see you at Thanksgiving. Like, I'm not so unreasonable.
Right.
Where I think I'll show up at Thanksgiving and be like, "Oh, you niggas that agree with me." Like, that's such an unrealistic point of view. And I'll see people say shit like that on Twitter or Facebook, and I don't believe them when they say, like, you know, I'll go to Thanksgiving and tell my grandma, man, you ain't gonna do shit.
Nah.
But the general, like, idea of, like, I don't have to tolerate this on social media, that's a real thing. And you know, I do extend it to that, but that's how I view life. Like, and if a nigga walk up to me in real life and be like, man, I can't believe you unfriended me on Facebook, I'll just be like, well, nigga, you said some wild shit. I don't feel any problem telling you that. I had that happen in real, like, when we used to see a comedian, there was a dude who I had unfriended on Facebook. And you know what he did when he saw me? He dapped me the fuck up and spoke. And I was like, yeah, that's what it's going to be. Like, I'm not, like... Because we can't be Facebook friends doesn't mean, like, I'm going to see you in real life and be like, I'm going to kill this nigga. Like, it's not that real to me.
Yeah.
Right. But I think this, when it comes to social media, a lot of people take the follows and the friends, and a lot of people take that shit to heart. And I think for me, what I started doing is using the tools that are bestowed upon me. I will mute you every 30 days. If Facebook allows me to do this, I will use the tools. I got family that I put in an extra secret group, family members. The only thing you can see is the picture I post when I update my profile. You don't see what I post. I don't see what you post. Like I started using these tools. So we still friends, because you unfriend, that's when everybody freaks the fuck out and you got to see them at the next family reunion. But it's because they old, so they don't know how the fuck these functions work. Come on, y'all know this. Y'all know the first time your auntie log on Facebook and you know she messy in real life, you go, okay, this is going to be on some bullshit. Let me mute her, because every time she posts a motherfucking book. I don't care nothing about it. Quit tagging me and shit. So, you know, I had to learn how to filter family members out. I love you. We still friends on Facebook, so we ain't got no problems in real life. You know, if you other people, I just unfollow you. But use the tools that are at your hands.
Hey, you know who else would, like, really endorse that message? My wife. My wife mutes my ass all the fucking time. She could tell. My wife could tell when, like, I done got worked up into a motherfucking lather about some shit, and she like, all right, this nigga about to go in. Let me just go ahead and mute this nigga right now, because he about to go in. Like, my wife has really, like, embraced that whole mute span shit, real talk.
And it's got to sometimes.
Right, because
yeah.
it's about mental health.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of those people that I was seeing on my timeline, like, they were literally riled up off of what other people were saying. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Roger, I filtered enough where a lot of that stuff don't come through my timeline. Like, I see what y'all say.
Yeah.
But most of that, I didn't see any of that, because the thing is, when you log on Facebook, you know how Facebook is. They got that weird algorithm where if somebody says something controversial, it's the very first thing, no matter how old it is, it's the very first thing you see. So it's gonna be in your feed. And my thing is like, I want to go on social media and be in peace. I don't want to be riled up. There are some things that are gonna rile you up, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't want 50 people saying the same stupid shit.
Yeah. And you're gonna get a lot of that, man. I've had to like kind of mute and unfriend quite a lot this week, man. Like these last 2 weeks have been real rich for the stupidity, man. Real talk. We got another story, man. This is actually a little bit more lighthearted, man. We ain't gonna talk about this shit too much, but a little bit more lighthearted. Rihanna just found out, man. Well, actually, Rihanna didn't find out, but Drake just found out publicly that him and Rihanna ain't motherfucking friends no more. So how many bonus tracks do y'all think we about to get on this next Drake album?
I probably double this now. I mean,
full of them good tears.
He gonna be super, super upset by this, man. That dude,
he in love with that woman.
It's wild because Drake is such a weird type of misogynist. You know what I mean? That like real, that nice guy TM.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So like, his shit kind of annoys me because I miss the days of, I miss the days of when people were just kind of like, yeah. So, I not miss the days, but like, there's an appreciation for the straight up misogynist,
right,
that I have. I'm like, at least I can respect that you don't give a fuck what I think. Like, you just out here like, you know, fuck bitches and get money and everybody's hoes. And I'm like, yeah, huh? He ain't trying to make me like him. He's saying what he want to say. Drake is very much like, I can't believe you would go out and dress that way when you know I'm fucking come other on. Women. Just because I fucked your best friend doesn't mean you gotta act like this. Like, he's like that type of misogynist. So like, he had that weird way of talking about Rihanna, and he used to also do it in Nicki Minaj's songs too. Yeah, a lot of, yeah, Nicki, we need to get married. Nicki, I love you. And I'm like, this nigga is so like that dude that acts like he's your friend, but really is secretly trying to always fuck.
And not only that, Rihanna was saying, man, like, Drake would make her feel really motherfucking uncomfortable. Like, I think she was talking about that at the VMAs. I think she got a Vanguard Award at the VMAs, and he expressed his love for her in front of every motherfucking body. And she, like, he went in for the kiss, and she kind of, like, strategically dodged the kiss and shit. Like, she said then, and I think it was a Vogue interview, it was a Vogue interview. She divulged that, like, she, like, felt really uncomfortable with the way he was really kind of, like, just putting that out there for everybody. She wasn't really comfortable with how he was pursuing her.
Yeah, and he, and like, also, it was real fucked up, because it was, like, at the VMAs.
It's like that public, I'm sorry.
It was, like, at the VMAs, and it was like, she was winning an award or some shit. Like, it was her moment, and he just tried to turn it into, like, this weird, like, but what about me, like, moment. I was like, what a fucking loser, dude.
It's almost like that public, you asked your wife to marry you, or like that engagement, the public engagement. Yes. Put her on the spot.
It felt like a public proposal, dog. Yeah. Exactly.
Put her on the spot, man. Like, she can't say no with all these people. She ain't gonna embarrass me like this.
What a loser, man. Yeah, I hate, man, that dude.
So, yeah. I'm sure we about to get a double, especially with like the Toronto Raptors losing back to back at home and shit, you know.
he's had a bad week, man. He had a bad week. Man. But you know what's funny though? Yeah. I really like Rihanna's like what do you call it? Like, her, she's straightforward.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't try to play it up like some Taylor Swift shit with like, I hate this nigga, and she was like, nah, we're not friends, but we're not enemies. Like, we just don't talk and shit. You know, like, you know, they asked her a question, got an honest answer, and it wasn't even like shady or, you know, insulting. It was just kind of like, this is what it is.
Yeah, like, we just don't speak. That's all y'all really need to know. Like, that's the beginning and the end of that. So, yeah, that's in Blue Blazes, man. Another thing that's in Blue Blazes, man, is apparently your man DJ Khaled don't eat the cat, man. Now, this has been circulating. This has been circulating all over fucking Twitter and Facebook. It's almost become one of them things like the $200 date, the cost of the ring, man. I don't know. Like, what y'all think about this shit, man? Personally, I'm like, whatever. But apparently he's got some pretty misogynistic views about whether or not he does it because he's the king and this other shit. But low-key, I kind of wonder whether or not she even likes whether or not he does it. And if that's the thing. And nobody's ever asked her whether or not she even likes oral sex coming from DJ Khaled.
Man, there's a lot going on here. It's the perfect storm of shit.
Yeah.
You know, one, it gives everybody that does eat pussy the perfect excuse to fucking humble brag about the fact that they will eat some pussy. you got all these people out here flexing on some like, what, man? Listen, I will put my whole head inside a vagina. You know what I mean? So you got those people. Then you got the whole like movement of like, I'm just sick of these misogynistic ass niggas being immature about eating pussy and shit and that stereotype, right? Yeah, so you got people that's fed up with that, you know, shit, man, nobody might not be eating that pussy right now. So you got all the people mad about that shit. And then on top of that, you know, that it does lead to speculation about like, well, how do you know his wife like that? There's women that don't like that. Men that, you know, couples that have a bunch of shit, but you know what? That's their personal business. Right. And until you put it out there in the streets, nobody gave a fuck or was judging you about it. But he wanted to let the world know because of his fragile masculinity. Like, I am the king. I don't eat pussy because he feels like that's some sort of negative trait that men should not want to aspire to, which just lets you know how shitty we are about pleasing our partners and shit like that when it comes to sex and how shitty we can be towards women hidden behind this masculinity shit. So I just think he hit the perfect storm. And like you said, I don't really care about his personal life and what his wife is dealing with. I don't know them. But it didn't sound like he was presenting it as, well, look, my wife's not into that, which
in
a way would have been received totally different. And like, honestly, it would have been kind of a cool moment because, oh, look at this. A dude that is, one, she's kind of breaking the mold, right? She, you know, like, I mean, she's still telling her business, but she's kind of breaking this mold of like, you know, it's not always everything in everyone's bedroom is the same, right? And then he's kind of breaking the mold of like, oh, I would, but she's not into that. And, you know, there's something to be said about that too, but he totally presented it another way, which was, I earn the money, I'm the king, and I ain't gonna be eating no pussy in my house. I'm just like, what is wrong with you, man? So, yeah, it was the perfect mix.
Man, you know, he could have really like cleaned that up and just like, well, I can do it because we the best, nigga. We eat the pussy the best, nigga. But he didn't do that.
My man at the Dylan One on Twitter said, I never thought that Khaled was eating pussy. I just thought he had three or four people that did it for him and he ruined them.
Oh, shit, man. Oh, hell, man. Oh, shit.
And all right.
And another one. Oh, man. So, yeah, that's it for Blue Blazers, man.
Hey, you didn't even say nothing. What'd you think about it? Or you didn't hear about it? Or?
Yeah, I heard about it, but I'm like, you. Once you put it out in the public, people are going to judge you.
Yeah.
And people already got their personal hangups about whether they just suck dick, don't suck dick, eat pussy, don't eat pussy, whether they eat the ass like it's groceries. Right. People already have their own personal hangups about sex and sexuality, and all that just pulls on the timeline.
Oh, and there's also like, there's also the part of it too where it's like people are judging because let's say he was like, I will eat the pussy, but my wife's not into that. It would have just turned into like, that's because you can't eat no pussy, nigga. See, I know. It's all about the humble brag part of it is the part that made it get out of control because it didn't have to be that. And then the worst part, of course, for me is, you know, as a fat man, we have very few positive reputation around here. And one of them is that, you know, you can sit on our face and that's fine. And we don't care. And we enjoy it. And he fucked up all the stock this week. Like you got a responsibility to the rest of us out here, Khaled, to represent. Like that's my Kanye. That's my Kanye this week. He let me down. He hurt me. If I was Van Lathan when he did that interview, I would have stood up and been like, now hold up. Hold up now, Khaled. I need to talk to you. You are morphed into something I did not even recognize right now, right? Talk about this. So he fucked it up for everybody. And people was like fat shaming and everything. I was like, all these woke people out here talking about some, oh, he eat everything but the pussy I see. I'm like, oh, wow. Wow. So we body shaming now? We body shaming because this nigga don't eat no pussy? I see how it is.
God damn, dog. Oh, shit.
Oh, dude, the truth came out, boy.
That's where you take your stand.
The truth came out. I can't wait to talk about this on the show tomorrow. I was hurt. We're not playing no more college songs on the Blackout Tips radio station.
Oh, no. I love his song.
Oh, shit.
This is his chipper. It'll make you feel better.
Oh, shit. Oh, man. Damn, right. Oh. That shit came from a real deep place, bro.
He hurt me, man. He hurt me.
Hashtag me too.
Oh, shit. Oh, man. This is why they my favorites, man. This is why they my faves. I love them. I swear to God, man. So...
I'm sorry to derail the show.
Oh, shit. Okay, man.
Go too fast. I understand.
We going to the news, y'all. So listen here, man. Because of Rod, I can't see a motherfucking thing on my glasses right now. These motherfuckers is like got tears and shit all up in them. But goddamn, man. We got some stories in the news, man. This is we're gonna run through these, man. Comcast, man. Like we were talking about that net neutrality shit last year, right? So Comcast got this thing going on, man, where if you do not subscribe to cable television, they won't sell you their highest speed internet. All right. So it says this story here is coming out of boingboing.net. That's a new one. It says
that's not like a porn site. What's happening here?
I know, right? It says damn it, I can't. Comcast has found a new way to stem cord cutting, cutting off your cable TV subscription in favor of subscription services like Netflix, or as in my case, in favor of giving up on watching TV altogether. In markets where they are a monopoly or a duopoly, they will reserve their highest speed internet offerings for customers who agree to pay extra for cable channels that they do not want or need. If all you want is internet access, Comcast will regulate you to its slow lanes. The move comes in tandem with Comcast's increasing practice of imposing data caps on its customers. Combine the two and you have a situation in which cord cutting means you can only download a handful of bits and very slowly at that. Now, I'm a Comcast customer. I've been telling folks for a long time that those data caps, those hard data caps are coming, that the cord cutting thing, like, yeah, you can, use YouTube TV or PlayStation View or Sling TV. You can use these services, but even with like high definition video streaming, that you will run up against that data cap really fucking quickly. I think Comcast's data cap is only like 1 terabyte a month. So you watch, if you watch, say for instance, some ultra HD shit on Netflix, you're running into some shit that may be like 500 gigs for one movie. Mm-hmm. Right? So like they're really putting the screws to you when it comes to this net neutrality shit. They're putting the screws to you because a whole lot of people feel like, yo, I don't really watch all of these channels. I really want to watch the game, but because I want to watch the game, y'all also are going to give me like 5 of these other channels that I don't feel like fucking watching. I'm going to just go ahead and get this with this ESPN and be done with it. And they're pretty much like trying to put the screws to you. Like, yo, man, you either going to get this TV shit because we won't try to pay for this TV shit, or you're not going to have the fastest speed internet. And this is one of those things, man. We like, as far as like as a podcaster who does a lot of this shit on the internet, is this whole thing right now is possible because of this high speed internet. This is one of those things that we saw coming long time ago, and this is on the ballot in 2016 when y'all when motherfucking Donald Trump became fucking president and was able to put appoint who he wanted to be at the head of the FCC. So what do you guys think about, like, whether or not this is be like, because I'm sure Comcast isn't going to be the only one, but what do you guys think about going forward, how these regulations are going to affect not only just like, you know, your watching of TV, but how this affects other things with the internet, especially like stuff that we do, like podcasting.
What do you think, Karen?
In my opinion, I think a lot of people have been very ignorant and they don't know what net neutrality is. And because it's presented net neutrality, a lot of people think it means the opposite of what it actually means. Because, you know, I talked to my niece about it and she was like, net neutrality, we don't want that. I was like, we do want that, baby. We do want that. You know, and it's a lot of adults that think that same way. So a lot of people are misinformed. They don't understand what it actually means. They don't understand that this means in the long run, you're going to actually be paying higher, more money for slower services. You know, they're going to actually cater to larger companies. They are going to actually dictate where most of the bulk of the traffic goes, because a lot of people are going to be like, instead of going to like the quote unquote smaller moms and pops, everybody's going to pay for the larger ones because that's where you're quicker and you're faster, and they're probably going to come in some of them first bundles. They're going to start tearing it, similar to cable. And the thing is, you're going to have a lot of people that's actually going to be priced out, where they're not even going to be able to afford internet, period. They're not going to be able to afford internet nor cable. A lot of people can't afford cable already. So you have a lot of people that drop the internet only because they can't afford internet and cable, and you're going to force them into cable and to pay, like you say, for services they don't want and they don't need. Instead of them being more creative and changing a model of how cable is presented, you know, and allowing you to kind of do more pick and choose, and because people want choices now. They don't want to be bombarded with 500 channels and you might watch a good 20 of them if you watch that many of them. And I think that with the internet, a lot of businesses, kind of like the music industry, are slow to adapt and slow to adjust. And if you don't have a government that forces them to adapt and adjust, they're going to keep their same business model. Why would you change if nothing is forcing you to change your model? And we just happen to live in a place where it's more competition. But it wasn't until I talked to other people, it's only one choice in a lot of markets. You either this or satellite. You know, you don't have all these other options. And so for me, I think that they're going to continue to do this. Why? Because they're allowed to do this, because we have people in the office now where they're all about big business. They don't give a fuck about your broke ass. They don't care about you. They don't care about you at all. And not only will it affect common people, it will affect people that produce on the internet. It will affect you too. You know, who knows if these services that are free will actually start charging you, because they might have to pay more to be on these higher tiers. So that cost is going somewhere. They're not going to eat that cost. So they'll turn around and push the cost to the people that are putting stuff on that platform. And then they'll have to push the cost to the consumer, which is more money that the consumer is not wanting to spend. A lot of people took for granted what was on the ballot. The internet, how we've always viewed the internet, may change forever. Because there's other countries that have done this. And if you go look at the examples, and I've kind of seen them, they show you how they tear this shit up and how they nickel and penny and dime people, you know, to get the most money out of people versus it just flat being free and equal, regardless of if you're a $1 billion company or you're a small company. Because what's going to happen is that you're going to actually prevent new companies from springing forward, because when you're new, you don't have all this money to invest. You don't. And the thing is, a lot of these companies are actually for it. Y'all niggas was in somebody's basement. Y'all benefited from this free internet. But now, since you're on top, you don't care about people coming after you, because a lot of those people like to challenge you and force you to change your models also.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Like, I believe, like, around the time when the whole net neutrality thing was going up for a vote for the FCC, I believe it was, there were examples that were put up about, you know, other countries where they had a similar thing, where, like, even the downloading of an app, you know, the usage of this app, you know, you pay for not only the internet on your phone, but you're also going to pay like a monthly price for the usage of this app. Like, so if you use Facebook, that's like another $1 every month for you to use Facebook, or that's like another $2 a month for you to use Snapchat, you know, stuff like that. Another thing about it was, you know, like companies like Netflix saw the writing on the wall. And so they started getting with some of these cable companies. Like even now with like Comcast, you can get your Netflix on your Comcast cable box, right? They went on ahead and said, fuck it, we know this is coming. Go ahead and, hey, we're going to charge you a little bit more money, and we're going to go ahead and get with these, you know, we're going to get with Comcast, allow some of our content to be available on Comcast. That way you still have access to our shit, and we still have access to these faster internet lines where you can get, you know, access to like the ultra HD shit, the HD shit. You know, you can still stream this stuff with relative ease. But yeah, man, like these sort of things, they were on the ballot in 2016. So so that's in the news, man. Another thing that was in the news,
also I just wanted to comment that cable was like the number one competition was the internet. All these people cutting the cord, cutting the box, all this stuff. You know, you should have been more concerned about your emails rather than her emails, because that's the shit that came back to haunt you.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Now, another thing that was in the news, man, Diamond and Silk were actually in bed with a white nationalist politician. Right. So this. Here we go. There we go. Yeah. So. And so they become two of the most beloved Donald Trump supporters on the campaign trail, Diamond and Silk, or Lynette Diamond Hardaway and Rochelle Silk Richardson. The sisters, who now act as Trump surrogates, have appeared on his behalf in numerous rallies, touted Trump on TV news shows, and won lavish praise from the candidate himself. In their YouTube videos and media appearances, Diamond and Silk rail about the perils of immigration. They support the border wall and mass deportations and the ban on Muslims that Trump has proposed, despite criticism that Trump's platform is racist and unconstitutional. This week, Diamond and Silk took their iconoclastic stick to step further when they sat down for an interview with white nationalist, Holocaust denier, and fellow Trump supporter John Friend. The show was broadcast on the American Free Press, a website that calls itself independent, populist, and pro-white, and promotes racist and anti-Semitic views and conspiracy theories. The two sisters, prompted by Friend, accused immigrants of demanding services and civil rights and somehow depriving Americans of those things. It's time for the American people to be taken care of, says Silk in the interview, first reported by Media Matters. It's time for somebody to look out for the American people, and that's what we love about Donald Trump. Everybody wants to be mad at Donald Trump, but at least he listens to the American people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? God damn, man.
It clears, man.
All that matters.
At least they're getting paid for it. Kanye out giving it away for free.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing, man, like I think they got paid like $7,000 for this particular appearance. There was another politician that they were actually endorsing, and it was revealed that he was a white nationalist, and I don't know if it's this guy, but it's sad, man. And I think that's another thing with, shit, I hate to go back to that Kanye shit, but like that's the dangerous part about it. Like, here is when you have black people regurgitating these right-wing racist talking points, and then you got these white people like, well, they can point to this motherfucker like, hey, we got Kanye and we got Diamond and Silk and maybe Saha the Prince is coming around, man. We got some good ones coming around here, man. So yeah, man, Diamond and Silk out here, the emperor is like coming out without his clothes, man. Like, he out here bucket naked with no clothes, showing himself to be with these racist white supremacists, great republic, whatever you want to call them, man. But that was in the news. But we're coming up towards the end of the show, man. And before we get out of here, of course, y'all know we got to do this, man.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
We got our ass hat of the week, man. And this week, our ass hat of the week is none other than you Cosby, Kelly, Kanye defenders. Right? All of y'all, man. Like, y'all, I had a heart broke. I mean, like, my heart was broken this week, knowing that I had so many friends who would find so many excuses for so much fucked up shit. I don't know if I will ever wrap my mind or my heart or my head around how y'all are able to just flat out ignore the shit that's right in front of you, man. Whether it's Bill Cosby being convicted and y'all calling it a fucking lynch mob, or he's being publicly lynched, whether it's R. Kelly having new allegations against him after 20 plus fucking years of allegations against R. Kelly, and y'all find it, y'all feeling like, yo, this is a lynch mob against R. Kelly, whether it's, you know, Kanye West and y'all feeling like, yo, I understand what Kanye West is saying, although what he's saying is tremendously ahistoric, tremendously fucking void of any factual backing whatsoever. Yo, man, y'all earned this ass hat this week, bro. Like, if I had actual ass hats, I would hand them motherfuckers out to y'all when I see y'all. Like, that's real talk. Cause, like, this has been a really fucked up week. Like, listening to friends and family be this fucking willfully ignorant. I don't know any other way to like express it other than to give y'all my disdain this week. So yeah, man. If you a Cosby,
I would have to give mine to the Toronto Raptors, but
oh man, I don't want to hear about this ever again. Not even when the playoffs said we better as friends, nigga. Like real talk, I took them home losses back to back. Real talk, man. But yeah, man. I'm sorry. Go ahead. This is free. Go ahead, man.
That ain't living in Lebronto. You know what I mean?
Oh, Lebronto.
That was actually Lebronto, baby.
Oh man, how y'all gonna be the number one seed get swept at home, man? I'm saying, I want to say that for motherfucking beer and chicken, bro. But yeah, man, y'all earn y'all ass hats this week, and y'all are the asses of the week this week here at the Spare Report Podcast.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
But we do have a champ.
The champ is here. 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 The champ is here.
All right. The champ of the week this week here at the Spare Report Podcast is the black dude at TMZ, man, Van Lathan. Van Lathan got up there and said what a whole hell of a lot of black people, millions of black people across this country were saying when they heard Kanye say that stupid ass shit. And the reason why he's getting champ of the week is Van Lathan had to do that shit while he was at work, man. He was at work. You know how many motherfucking people see some shit going on, racist shit going on, watching their coworkers co-sign this racist shit going on, and they really can't afford to say anything? Van Lathan was convicted in that point, was like, I cannot let this shit pass, bro. I gotta say something. Because he's watching his coworkers. It was coworkers raising their hands and shit like, you know, am I feeling free right now? Am I speaking free? And he's like, nah, man, I don't think you're thinking shit right now, man. And I gotta deal with this shit. And it was evident, and the people in the room co-signing that Kanye shit while he was doing it in a manic state. Now, I'm not a psychologist and shit, but y'all heard, if you did listen to Thursday's episode, yo, Kanye sounded like he was off his meds, man. He did. He did. And even while I'm sorry, go ahead.
The other thing, they had that other brother that was right there with Harvey Levin. I don't know that black dude's name, but
yeah,
I mean, he didn't say shit. I mean, he was content to let that shit sit out there,
milking it for the views.
When Kanye told him, like, just be quiet and let Harvey Levin speak or whatever.
Yep.
I mean, he completely let that dude say anything he wanted to about slavery or whatever and just let it cook. I mean, I got empathy for Van Lathan too. You know what I mean? Like, if I can extend it to Kanye, you know, I can definitely extend it to all the black people that's been fucked with by this dude saying these things.
It's just,
we are asked to take so fucking much, man, and the least you can do is acknowledge the history of this country. Like, it's not even we not even asking, it's not even asking nobody to do nothing. It's just right. Like, can you just not lie? And that's and Kanye, you know, definitely hurt a lot of people's feelings with that shit.
Yeah. So Van Lathan, man, has been given the champ of the week. I told y'all Thursday he was getting it. But yeah, Van Lathan is champ of the week this week here at the Span Report Podcast, man. But we are getting ready to get up out of here. And it's Cinco de Mayo, man, so I'm about to go do some drinking. But but before we do,
you got to put on some brown face and the sombrero.
Nah, man, I'm gonna go out here and it's all black, man. You know, just chill out with the wife and go have us some margaritas and eat some burritos and have fun with our brown brothers and sisters, man, and just do what we do in Mexican Town in Detroit, bro. But before we go, I want to thank Rod and Karen for being here with us, man. Let everybody know how they can get in touch with you guys, bro.
Well, first of all, champ of the week is LeBron James. Karen, go ahead. Tell them how to get us.
You can get in touch with us over at theblackoutwhotips.com. That's where you can find everything about the show, about going premium. You can find everything about us. We're on social media, on about every platform, at TBGWT. Now, this is some brand new one we don't know nothing about yet, but we own the standard ones. You can find us on Twitter. I'm Say That Again, that as in DAT. And you can find Rod at Rodimus Prime.
All right. So, yeah, man, I want to thank Rod and Karen for joining me here for episode 206 of the Spare Report Podcast, man. It's been fun. I can't wait to put this out. Rod, man, you goddamn, bro. I mean, I haven't laughed that hard all this week, my nigga.
I'm happy to be able to bring it.
I appreciate you, man. I really do, man. I appreciate you guys coming on. And this will be out really shortly for you guys who are like watching live and stuff. I appreciate you guys who are in the chat room and watching live. We get ready to get out of here. But before we go, let me remind y'all, because I know this is going to be in the show notes, but let me remind y'all how to get in touch with us here at the Spare Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemails, man. I play them on the show, respond to you right here. You can also email me at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave those emails. We'll respond to those here, right here, live on the show. Follow your boy on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So, man, follow your boy. Chop it up with me throughout the week. 5-star reviews. We love them here. We even let y'all talk shit about us here when you leave those 5-star reviews. We let y'all do that here. Just leave the 5 stars, man. Just leave the 5 stars. It's an even exchange. Go ahead and do that, man. We appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. Go ahead and hit up the Spare Report Podcast Network store, man. Go buy yourself some t-shirts, man. Get you a Social Justice Warrior t-shirt. Get yourself a Trump shirt. Get yourself a Beard Chicken shirt. Get you some stuff, man. We appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. And for all of your Spare Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com. Everything's available there. You can watch replays of the show, vote in the polls, leave comments. Everything, man. Everything's there at thespanreport.com, man. We really do appreciate everybody who goes there and do that. So once again, I'd like to thank Rod and Karen of The Black Guy Who Tips for being here on episode 206 of the podcast. And we will talk to you guys again soon. So until next time, fam. Peace.
Peace.
All right.